Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. And Lord, we believe your word. We may not like it all the time. We may not want to obey it. But Lord, at least me, I believe your word. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, your commandments are true and righteous altogether. And I trust you. Lord, speak to the people. Open the eyes of their understanding. Those that have ears to hear, Lord, help them to hear. And we're careful to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In this chapter we find the Ten Commandments. And in the first two verses, God sets it up. He says, "I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." He was speaking to the Jews that had come from Egyptian bondage. They were delivered by the power of God. Everyone that God was speaking to, they had seen the Red Sea open. They had seen the Egyptian chariots drowned. They had tasted of the water that God provided for them when they were thirsty. They knew that this voice from heaven was God. And we need to be ever mindful that the Word of God that we have today, the Bible, it's from heaven. It's from God. And the one that sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, to forgive us of our sins, to pay the ransom for many, it says. This is the one that has given us the Word of God, and we should walk holy before him. We should walk humbly before him, and not to think of ourselves any more highly than we ought to think. We're to tread lightly before God, to walk softly before the Lord, and not to be high-minded but fear, it says. But let's go ahead and take a look at the Ten Commandments. And I will list them, and I will give the verses, and then I will read the verses. Commandment number 1, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number 2, from verse 4 to verse 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Commandment number 3, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Commandment number 4, verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Commandment number 5, and this is in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Commandment number 6, in verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Commandment number 7, in verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, in verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Commandment number 9, in verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And commandment number 10, in verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. The chapter goes on, verse 18 through 21, where it tells the people's response to God speaking from heaven in giving the Ten Commandments. Verse 20 through to the end of the chapter, God gives additional instructions and repeats the commandment that there should be no false gods. And then God gives instructions on how to build an altar to worship Him. Now the second commandment that we read, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything, etc. This commandment was removed by the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I know I'm not going to make very many friends for making a statement like that, but the Catholic accounting of the Ten Commandments leaves out the second commandment. They lump it in with the first and make light of the fact that we're not supposed to make any graven image or icon or statue or painting or what have you. We're not supposed to do it. But in every Catholic church that you would enter, there are paintings and statues and icons and relics and all of these things. The Bible specifically forbids all of these paintings. It specifically forbids to make a likeness of anything that is in heaven, or that's in earth beneath, or the water under the earth. Now, I'm not sure what the water under the earth means, but he's saying that we should not make some sort of artist's rendition of heaven or the Lord or perhaps the cherubim or something of that nature. We're not supposed to do it. We're to refrain from trying to come up with an idea that we've come up with ourselves to demonstrate or show or portray what the spirit world looks like. We're not supposed to make statues of God or statues of the saints or all of these things. It's forbidden by the Word of God. But again, the Catholic Church has done away with the second commandment. And they've taken the tenth commandment and broken it into two. The tenth commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and etc. But they will break up number 10. They will take the first phrase, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and they'll put a period there, and they'll call it number 9. And then they'll pick up and say, thou shalt not covet all of these other things, and make it number 10. But leaving that aside, let's take a closer look at commandment number 2. It says that we're not to make a graven image or a statue or something like that. And we're not supposed to bow down ourselves to these images or statues or paintings, nor serve them. We're not supposed to pray to a statue. But he says, For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. We just said at the beginning of the program that God reminded his people of the great deliverance that he had given to them back in Egypt. Many people will casually think that the Exodus is about the Red Sea, and that was a great event, make no mistake. But miracles did not deliver the children of Israel, and miracles cannot deliver us today. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The lamb had to be killed. A lamb for a house, Moses said. And the blood on the doorpost and lintel, the lintel being the top portion. And God said that he'd send his angel, the death angel. But he says, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We're all sinners, born in sin. But we can be saved from hell and the consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death. We can be saved from hell by trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by believing John 3:16, where it says that Jesus died in our place, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a precious thing that God gave his Son to die for us. It's a holy thing. The word sanctify means to set apart and declare holy. We should sanctify the Lord in our hearts, to reverence him, to honor him, to walk softly, as I said, before him. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God. I won't share my worship, he says, with some stock or some stump, or some idol, or some statue made of wood or perhaps stone and overlaid with gold. I won't share my glory. Don't pray to the saints. Don't pray to the statues. Don't venerate the images. Look to God. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. I, the Lord, am a jealous God. But then he goes on to say that he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He uses the word hate. Don't let the politically correct crowd tell you that hate is something we should not say. Hate is a perfectly valid word, and it accurately describes those that are outside the kingdom of God, many of them. They hate God. The atheists hate God. The sinner, he hates God. But God says he will visit the iniquity of the haters of God upon their children under the third and fourth generation. If you, sir, sin, or madam, your children and your grandchildren and their grandchildren, etc., will pay for your mistakes. But then it says, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, if you work for God, if you live for God, if you surrender your life to God, your neighbor who hates God, his great-grandchildren will still suffer for their mistakes. But if you love and worship God, thousands of generations, will enjoy the blessings should God tarry, because you serve the Lord. Grace is better than wrath. Grace and forgiveness is better than judgment. Remember that God so loved the world than he gave his only begotten Son. God loves us. He may not like your sin. He may not like the things you do on Saturday night. He may not like the evil that you have in your heart. But God loves you, and he wants you to come to him. Now there are those that teach something called generational curses. And they will invent all sorts of doctrine. They will take this verse, for instance, and take it out of context. And they will say that you have to have some sort of deliverance ceremony or something in order to be free from whatever curse. Maybe if your grandfather did something that you're under a curse. And that is correct. If your grandfather was a sinner, you will pay. But the moment you come to Christ, the moment you turn your heart and life to God, he'll show mercy. Your sins he'll wash away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And God will not penalize you for what your grandfather or your ancestor did once you come to Christ. All of that is free. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." The New Testament tells extensively that God's wrath was satisfied by the death of Christ on the cross. You don't have to have any ceremony. Nobody has to lay hands on you or cast any demon out of you or any such foolishness. You put your trust in Christ, and all sins are forgiven. All stains are washed away. Curse? It's right here in the law. Ten Commandment number 2, which also says there's instant mercy the moment you turn to God. Don't believe these foolish doctrines that add to the Word of God and put additional restrictions and conditions on your salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to make you spotless, put a robe of righteousness on you, and your whole spirit and soul and body, he is able to preserve and present to the Lord when he returns. Commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet. If you pair it with commandment number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. These two commandments answer a false doctrine that is in the church today, and that is the prosperity gospel, or the name it and claim it, or seed faith, or whatever terminology that you're familiar with. Tonight, if you turn on so-called Christian television, or during the day, or in the morning, or something, you will hear those that are preaching this false gospel, the prosperity message, so-called. Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," mammon, the things of the world, money, etc. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve and love God and be greedy and covet. Because at the root, the prosperity gospel is about greed and covetousness. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12, a familiar passage. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." It's right to tithe. It's right to give an offering. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation," speaking of Israel. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And to that I say, Amen. That is the word of God. If you pay your tithe, which is 10% of your income, if you give an offering besides, God will look upon you. God will bless you. God will prosper you. But you only have to look to Isaiah chapter 58 to understand that he cares about helping the poor and preaching the gospel and doing things for people less fortunate. But the message of today is to send your paycheck to the people on television. And if you do, you'll get a hundredfold return. If you send $100, God will give you back $10,000, they say. Well, I'm here to say that's a lie. Let me say that again. God does not give hundredfold returns if you're giving to get money. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. This verse does not talk about money. It talks about kindness and charity. It talks about praying for others, perhaps, and doing unto others. But it doesn't talk about money. Sure, you can give. You can help someone less fortunate. But giving to get is error. Giving to get is covetousness and greed. And it's against commandment number 10. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The liars on television will tell you that you can have all this money that God will somehow miraculously give to you if you send in your offering, and that all your diseases will be healed by the time the postman comes. But they leave out the part that says, even as thy soul prospereth. Even as thy soul prospereth. The focus is not on money. The focus is on God will do these things because he loves you. As you follow him, as you love him and keep his commandments, as you walk softly before him, as I said. There's a doctrine they call seed faith, which means if you plant a seed in this ministry or send in your offering, what have you, then you'll reap a harvest of 60 or 100-fold. You send in your 100, you'll get 10,000. Again, I said that's a lie. And these men are lying to you. These men are greedy, and they want your money. Don't give it to them. But they will take Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 20, out of context. It's the parable of the sower. But if you look at other uses of the word hundredfold, perhaps, like in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 30, Jesus mentions hundredfold, but it's in the context of being a martyr for the faith, giving your life for the faith, giving your time, your effort, letting him, the Lord, do what he wants with your life. And you receive 100-fold, and in the next life, you'll have eternal life. The context is not on greed. The context is not on getting. The context is on giving for others and giving your life to preach the gospel. They say that they have a new revelation, that God spoke to them and gave them this teaching. God didn't speak to them. And we know where the teaching came from. A lot of it came from a guy named Kenyon. But they'll all stand up and say that God spoke to me, I've got a new revelation, you should give your money. They're lying about where they got it from. They got it from Kenyon. And they got it from the garden when Satan lied to Eve. Don't waste your money. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It's not about greed. It's not about things. And we should take care to make sure that our treasure is in heaven, so that there our heart will be also. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.